The Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Men of Letters, a supernatural podcast.
This is Dad's single most valuable possession. Everything he knows about every evil thing is in here. He's passed it on to us. I think he wants us to pick up where he left off. You know, saving people, hunting things, the family business.
Storm's coming. And you boys, your daddy, you are smack in the middle of it.
House rules, Sammy. Driver picks the music. Shotgun shuts his cake hole.
No chick flick moments.
All right, jerk.
Bitch.
That Constance chick, what a bitch!
What were you thinking, shooting Casper in the face, you freak?
Eat me. No, wait, you actually might.
Hope your apple pie is freaking worth it!
This one's for the Junk Drawer Podcast, boys. Oh yeah, that's some PBR right there. Hope you enjoyed it. Oh, welcome back, Supernatural MOL fans, for another fantastic journey with your favorite monster hunter, Sam and Dean Winchester. This is episode 5. Tonight, Katie and I will be covering episode 9, Home, and episode 10, Asylum, from season 1, so get ready. How you doing tonight, Katie?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm peachy. I'm ready to talk some Supernatural with you. Yeah. Peachy.
Exactly what a bitch would say.
Jerk. But shall we delve right into the first episode?
Yeah, go ahead. Read it to me, brother man.
You know what? It's been so long. I've been kind of rusty on this. Before we get into reviewing episode Home, let's pause for a quick speakeasy commercial break from Fighting Words.
Hey, Dave, what's going on?
I can't beat this poo-stained rectal nugget online. It's like he's psychic. He knows what buttons I'm going to push before I push him. God damn it!
Wow, double perfect? You might be ass. Like, literal ass. Don't open your mouth, because it'll smell like straight sewage.
Ugh, dear. Your support is always endearing and welcome, Cal. I think it's culturally biased against people of Latin descent.
It's a game. It has no racial, ethnic, or cultural bias. It can't because it's an inanimate object, silly.
I still think it doesn't like my button presses. It's like I'm not going to do the kick you want to do because your fingers smell like fried bananas and pork.
That is literally the most ridiculous thing that's ever come out of your mouth. And the list of ridiculous things you have said is long and storied. It's a grocery list of vulgarity, the likes of which the world has never known.
Your face is a grocery list of vulgarity, the likes of which the world has never known.
Good comeback.
I try.
Was that the set? Wow, that was quick. Don't blink or Dave will have already gotten his ass kicked.
I think I have PTSD from that set. All I remember was round one and then just darkness. Then it was over, and the game happily stated, you lose, you fail at life, shove your head in a toilet and keep flushing.
I don't think the game would say that, although it would be amazing if it did.
Well, how did you do in your marvel, Mr. Judgmental?
Oh, I lost. I got so salty I kicked a chair, but the chair won because I hurt my foot. It's always disheartening when you lose both online and to furniture.
Oh, that's why you're limping. Developed a new pimp walk. I like it.
Yeah, it definitely attracts the ladies for sure. Anyway, ready to podcast?
Absolutely. Just because we're scrubs doesn't mean we can't have opinions and humorous observations about fighting games.
Speak for yourself. I'm the greatest of all time.
Legend in your own mind, Kevin. Legend in your own mind. Let's do this. Whether you're a rookie or a world champ, this podcast is for you. Join Dave and Kevin as they discuss all things fighting games in the FGC. Fighting Words, the definitive podcast by two guys who don't let their sodium levels affect their love for a good fight.
Well, we're back, and let's roll that WB commercial for Home.
And next week, the journey leads two brothers home.
I swore to myself that I would never go back there.
Back when tragedy struck their family.
The people who live in our old house, I think they might be in danger.
I know I've left you messages before, and I need your help, Dad.
Supernatural, the journey home, next week on the WB.
I guess you really can't go home again, can you, Katie?
No, I don't wanna. It's just creepy.
Okay, so this wonderful synopsis was brought to you by the fine people at Wikipedia. Home was directed by Ken, I hope I pronounced his last name correctly, Jurati, written by Eric Kripke, with an original air date of November 15th, 2005. The current Internet Movie Database user rating for this episode is 9 out of 10 stars, so that's pretty high. Okay. So Sam has nightmares of a family being attacked by a supernatural entity in his and Dean's childhood home, prompting the brothers to return to Lawrence, Kansas to investigate. They enlist the help of their father's psychic friend, Missouri Mosley, played by Loretta Devine, to rid the house of a poltergeist. Although Missouri claims to have purified the house, Sam does not believe it was successful, so the brothers watch over the house. When the poltergeist returns, Sam's premonitions start to come true. The brothers rush to rescue the family, but they themselves are saved by the spirit of their mother, who sacrifices herself to stop the poltergeist. Unknown to them, their father is at Missouri's house, and though he dearly wants to see his children, he informs her that he can't until he knows the truth about something. Ooh, so let's discuss Home.
Let's discuss it.
What do you got? What are your thoughts and feelings, yo? Let me take a sip of my PBR.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, girl. You know, now you got me thinking about 40s and, what is that stuff? Cavassier.
Cobra? No, Cobra's a really bad malt liquor.
Yeah. Colt 45.
Yeah, Colt 45, yes. Oh.
All right. I kind of like this episode.
Yeah.
It was like just the right amount of spooky, and it was kind of good to see the boys, you know, a part of their past and get a little more details on you know, their childhood home, and they let in a little bit more information about stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And then they're actually like forced to kind of relive those moments to deal with their stuff.
Yeah, I've also loved the few references to Stephen King in there. I don't know if you caught those at all. One was where Dean mentions this to Sam about him having The Shining.
Yes.
Now, there's also, I don't know if you noticed it, and this always really creeped me out, but the scene where the mother hires the repairman to come to the house to clean the...
Oh, my God,
to fix
right?
The garbage disposal, and you see the monkey, and that's from, obviously, a reference to Monkey Shines, also from Stephen King, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was one of those cringeworthy moments for me. I mean, we mentioned that in a previous episode, but that was probably the second truly cringeworthy moment of the season one so far, was him getting his hand cut off in the garbage disposal.
I just was on vacation and I saw a clapping monkey and I almost got it.
Oh,
because they're so creepy and amazing.
Yes, yes. But I will honestly say that I really love the character of Missouri. I really thought mm-hmm. she was fantastic. And I would have loved to have seen her more in the series, her having a reoccurring role in the series. Maybe not every episode, but, you know, kind of like what Bobby was. Or, I don't know, like maybe the redheaded chick that appears later on.
Charlie,
yes. So along those, in the same vein of Charlie, where she just pops up from time to time, you know, to help the boys. But that was never to be. I mean, she did appear one.
In there three or four times, I think, she came up throughout the course of the shows.
I remember her being in the last season. I don't remember her being any other than these two episodes. I could be wrong, but that's why I only remember her in Home and then this episode from last season. So
one more, but I could be mistaken. You know, I'm wrong a lot. So,
hey, we both
You'll never hear that. You'll never hear me say that again.
Yeah, well, it's on tape. It's not live. It's Memorex.
Replay it all you want.
It's not live. It's Memorex, Katie.
My God.
Oh, that shows you how old I am.
But, yeah, some of the references in here, it's like you were saying 2005. Oh my gosh, that was like 13 years ago. Crazy.
I know, it's nuts. Yeah, so the beginning of the episode starts out with Sam having these weirdo nightmares and him, you know, drawing this tree and Dean is trying to, get cases and hunt evil until they get, what I believe was a text message for coordinates, correct, from their father?
Yeah. Well, it starts out with the mom, and she's, like, sitting in the living room, and she's kind of reminiscing. Obviously, she had lost her husband, and the kid is complaining about something being in the closet, and the mom puts the chair in front of it. Then the kid sees fire, kid screams, mm-hmm. and mom's not around, so she's checking for, like, scratchy noises in the basement, and...
Like rats and stuff like that.
Rats, yeah. She thought it was rats. But no, she finds this box with all the Winchester stuff in it. And so then you see, you know, Sam's dream of her, the mom, being panicked in the window. Mm-hmm. And that's when he starts to draw the tree and Dean is reading off cases.
Right. And you see, he says he's seen this tree before. He doesn't know where. And
right.
They find an old picture of them in front of the house, in front of the tree, and... he said, we have to go back there. And then that really freaks Dean out, saying, I've made a vow never to go back there, ever.
Right, right.
So,
because he's like, you know, and he's pushing Sam for details. And Sam's like, no. And then he finally explains himself. And, you know, of course, Dean's not convinced because he's Dean.
Mm-hmm. Basically, because he's like, oh yeah, you'd say, now you got The Shining all of a sudden.
right. All work and no play.
Yeah, so they finally get in the car and they drive back to Lawrence, and they're outside of the gas station, and you see Dean tell Sam that he's got to go hit the head and go to the bathroom, and he walks around to the corner of the building and calls his dad to leave him a voicemail message saying they're back in Lawrence, and, you know, if you're there, please help, we need your help, you know, kind of thing, which is the first time we ever see Dean actually kind of break down so far. This is the first time in the series where it's like, holy crap, okay, there's some kind of, you know, he doesn't do it very often, so.
No, and he was like, just on the verge of, like, one of those tears dropping from the corner of his eye.
Yes. Yeah, I think this is before or after they talk to the old,
I think it's after.
After talking.
Because remember that the boys pull up and they talk to her, oh, we used to live here, and...
Right.
Sam says that, because I think Dean starts to give her the bullshit line about being federal or whatever, and
right.
He's like, you know, and then Sam's like, no, we still live here, and, you know, how is the old house, and that kind of crap, and then she's like, well, it's kind of this, and it has this problems, and I think it's got rats, and, you know, the scratching, and the lights, and the plumbing...
Right. Yeah.
And then I think.
Yeah, just like you said. This is the first.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. This is the first. This is one of the few times they actually use their first and last names.
Right.
Sam. Yes. Like, just to get back. I'm sorry. Get back to where we were saying about the bullshit. But continue. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
No. And that's when I think, you know, after they talk to her about that, that's when they go back. They're arguing back and forth about it, and then they go back, to the motel to make a plan. And at the gas station, that's when Dean calls his father.
Oh, it was a repair shop, because they had just gotten done talking to maybe it was the gas station or the repair shop. Remember, they said that, what would we do when we have to work another case? And they kept talking back and forth about it. He was like, well, we already know the history of the house. Let's interview the people. So they interviewed John's old, like, co-worker, not co-worker, but maybe like co-owner of the shop they used to own together. And mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah, he used to dote on those kids, and he loved Mary, and then everything was great until the fire, and then John kind of lost his mind, and, you know, he started reading all these weird, creepy old books, and...
going to a psychic, and,
right.
And stuff like that, but he doesn't have a name of a right. psychic.
So, what do they do?
It's
not Google they use.
No, it's not Google. Like, didn't they find the Missouri, her name in, like, one of the books? And they used the telephone book.
Yeah, they said...
To look up for psychics.
Well, Sam was looking through an actual phone book attached to a payphone, and he's like, and he's reading through, all the psychics in the area, like the psychic reading people in their area, and he comes across Missouri Mosley's name, and then he's like, Missouri sounds familiar. And Dean goes back to look in their journal. He goes, I found the truth when I went to Missouri. And he's like, I always thought he meant the state, not a person. So that's when they meet. They go to the psychic Missouri, and she's has a client. She's like, oh, and as his client's leaving, the client closes the door. She's like, oh, that poor man, his wife is cold banging the gardener.
I know, I love that. That was such a great line.
And he's like, what? He's like, well, people don't come here for the truth, honey.
I know, right? And she's like, Dean, Sam, get in here already.
Yeah, and they didn't tell them their names yet. Oh boy, I can't talk. and they're sitting down, and she goes, boy, don't you put your feet on my coffee table. He's like, yeah, I wasn't going to.
Don't you make me hit you.
Yes.
And so, he didn't even do it yet, but she knows.
Yeah, he was thinking it.
Yeah. And then he's like talking about, I don't know what they were talking about, but she's like, do you see me sawing a tramp in half? I am not a magician.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. That's just the right amount of sass. I love her.
Yes, she was fantastic, and so they go. They take Missouri to the house to get a reading on it, and she says, "Oh, there's definitely a malevolent spirit. In fact, there's more than one, and this house has got a poltergeist." And so she's going through the, they're going through the house, and they're like, "Oh, Sam, this is where a lot of evils happen. This was your old nursery," and so. They leave, and they have to come up with a plan on how to get them out of the house so they can get in there.
Right, but I think that before that, they were, while they're with Missouri, they cut back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the mom's going around the house, and then the kids and, the baby gate.
Right, right. Oh, that's right.
It mysteriously unlocks. And the kid gets into the fridge for juice.
Yeah.
And then the door shuts. But my thing is, what the fuck is with those fridge shelves? Like, who takes all the top shelves and puts them down low and then stacks their fucking groceries like that? Nobody. That was really? Really, guys? You couldn't have thought of something better? Super.
You know, I didn't get that part, but there's a bit towards the end that just struck me as, well, that's really weird. But we'll get to that point.
Because I mean, the mom comes down and she's looking for the kid, and then she sees the milk's all spilled on the floor, and so that's how she's like, oh yeah, the kid's in the fridge. Yeah. She's freaking out.
Meanwhile, she's dealing with somebody at the place where the guy worked. There was the repair guy's hand got cut off, and she's talking. She was like, "I don't know. How is this my fault?" You know, because right? The guy unplugged everything. It was, and
he checked it.
He did.
His own fault.
Yep. But I don't know. Do they rule that under an act of God?
I don't know.
The insurance.
I don't know. I don't care who turns that switch off. You're gonna disconnect the power before I'm sticking my hand down his
brain. Yeah. Well, yeah. He disconnected the power too. He turned it off. He turned out or flipped the switch on and off a few times. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm screwing it. Put it on the kitchen table. Let's because it's not going to be my hand. That's for damn sure.
Yes, but he survived. He's got a couple digits less, but on his hand. But yeah, so she's on the phone talking to the repair company, saying, "This isn't my fault. You're going to have to get a lawyer." And like, oh Christ, she doesn't need this crap.
Right, and then there's frickin' Fracker knocking on the door with Missouri wanting to come in.
Yes.
And that's, I think, when she starts talking and saying how there's dark energy in Sam's room, which is now the little girl's room.
Yes. Oh, and we should make note of it. When the boys were there originally, looking over the old house, they interviewed the daughter, but they talked to the daughter, and daughter said, there was a person, and they were on fire in my room.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God. And that's when they kind of through all the...
Because Mom was like, it's just this, right? It's just imagination, right?
Yeah.
Because you could see their faces like, oh, we want to say something.
Right. And I love
the... I want to piss this lady off.
And I love the fact that she says that your old house has some issues. She goes, and there's like scratching and there's rats in the wall. And she's like, and I love when she goes down to the basement and she's like, God, I hope that's not rats. I'm like, man, rats are the least of your problems right now. But anyway, getting back to the... present tense, where they're at the door with Missouri. The boys in Missouri are at the door, and they said, can you please come in? I know this is a bad time, but just leave the house for a few hours. Take the kids to the movie, because they've got like bags of
the witchy bags. I don't know what they're called. Always forget what they're called. They're like little sacks with like, anti.
Yeah,
spirit shit.
To kill the spirit, they got some sort of spirit poison. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, they're magic little sacks.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, there you go. Yeah, that
you
they have
a magic little sack, don't you?
Sure. Yes, I never leave home without it.
Chris keeps it in her purse.
Nuh-uh.
Ooh.
Nah, whatever. She doesn't listen to the show. No, she doesn't. But anyway, so they have to take the little the super duper crunchy spirit sacks out, spirit deterrent. And they have to put
that
them.
That sounds like a cereal. Can we market that?
Yes. Now with 12 vitamins and minerals.
Yes, crunchy super sacks. Great with chocolate milk.
Guaranteed not to go soggy. Okay.
Fun fruit shapes. Speaking of fun fruits. Oh my God.
It's sorry guys, it's a little late for us right now, and we've been drinking.
Right? No, I said Front Fruits, and I actually meant those guys at the Drunk Drawer podcast, because I listened to some of their stuff recently.
Oh, okay.
And then they had another guest on, and I was like, what the hell is happening? Three is a lot. Four, I just... it's too much. Talk about funky sacks.
Adam and Josh and Mike, we love you.
Just a little. Just a little bit.
So anyway, so these guys are putting their crunchy sacks.
Yes, on the crunchy sacks
into the walls of the house, and it knocks out the spirit. But they, of course, the spirit doesn't go effortlessly into the night. There's some stuff where some flying knives are going at Dean, and Sam gets choked out by a extension cord or a cord from a lamp.
A lamp cord.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I guess the spirit's into BDSM or whatever.
Yes, and Missouri mostly gets taken out by a table, I think, almost. Or is it a bookshelf or something? She gets knocked into...
I think it gets her in the gut, maybe?
Yeah, it slows her down for sure.
Yeah.
But Dean is able to get away from the flying knives and rescue his brother and throw the crunchy sacks into the wall and... poof, the spirits are... apparently, the poltergeist has left.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Which feels like it was too easy. Even though somebody's getting strangled, and somebody else is, getting smashed.
Yeah, and...
smashed.
Yes, I hate that when that happens. It's awful. It's worse. It's worse. It's the worst. But anyway...
Because when you go to dump them out, they're just little... pieces of dust. It's like crumbled up. Purple sack. Magic sack of dust.
Yes. And I think even Dean said that, oh, we're making them extra crunchy. So there's some... why they're doing this, and they're like, there's some voodoo or hoodoo dust and some different kind of like chicken bones.
No, there's no hoodoo dust. They don't get into goofa dust.
No, is it goofa?
That doesn't come until later.
No, it was something else, some sort of other dust, she said.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Your crunchy sack. I don't know.
Anyway, so they pretty much make a mess of this house, and The woman comes back with her kids, and they open the door. She says, "Well, it's a mess in there, but it's clear, you know. Yeah. There's no more
poltergeist.
Yeah. Well, don't just stand there, boy. Get a mop and a broom, or something."
Right.
Like. And Dean's face is priceless when he keeps getting talked to by Missouri. This pleases Sam very much. Every time you see Sam, he's always like kind of got a smirk on his face. So they clean up the house, but Sam's got like this lingering, you know, feeling of unrest. Like it's not over yet.
Yeah, he's very unsettled.
Yes, and so him and Dean are sitting outside the house. Dean's like, "Why could we could be in a bed? We could be in bed right now. We could be doing, you know, this. I could be, you know, having some pie or whatever. Why are we here?" Missouri says it's clear, it's good, and then all of a sudden, we cut into inside where the mother is in the bed, and she's just put down her magazine. She's about to go to sleep, and the bed starts to shake, and you know she gets freaked out, and we see her pounding on the window, which is the premonition Sam had at the beginning of the episode. So, yeah. So the boys rush in. They knock down the door, and Dean gets the mother out, and Sam goes after the kids. But did you notice?
Yes. I was waiting for you to say something.
What's that?
Say it.
If you notice, Sam's running down the stairs. running down the stairs with the little boy and the little girl. He tells him to take your brother outside and run as fast as you can, which is the exact same line that John Winchester said to Dean before he got...
So many years ago.
Yes. That's what you were going for, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Duh. Good. Well, we didn't see.
What do you think I was gonna go for
a little peek behind the curtain, y'all. We didn't discuss that bit at all.
No. Stop peeking behind my curtains, okay? You're just gonna go blind.
Just in one eye.
No, I don't know. It depends on what curtains you're peeking through.
Anyway, so Sam gets sucked back into the house. Door closes, and it looks like Sam's gonna, you know, meet his maker. Dean can't open the door. So now this is. Remember, I told you earlier that this is the part that I found unbelievable. Like you said about the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this major skirmish going on. I mean, it's like midnight or whatever it is whenever this is going on. And,
like in the winter, so it's like 8, really.
Well, it's the middle of the night. On a quiet suburban street, right? And there's a bunch of people have now gathered, not just Missouri and the mom and Dean, but look like other people from the neighborhood. And all of a sudden you see Sam, or not Sam, but you see Dean pop open the trunk and grab the axe and start to smash down the front door.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, doesn't seem very right. You think someone would be calling the police. I mean, there is now an audience, you know, and Sam and Dean usually work better when there isn't an audience.
Right, and it's kind of, well, I mean, and if this was back in the, you know, this is back in the day, so there were no cell phones to record stuff, but maybe people were just like, what the fuck is going on? But I also think, like, the reason they got the axe and the door, because it's another kind of, like, you know, tip to, what's his face, Stephen King, and the, you know, here's Johnny.
Yeah, and I kind of get that reference, but I just find it funny that like nobody's like said anything, or police never showed up, or the EMTs never showed up. I mean, like there's
right.
a major stuff going on. I mean, the house is in the house isn't technically on fire. There is a fire being, but you know, it just kind of was like kind of weird because there's all this chaos, you know, going on, and nobody thought to maybe phone the popo.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because Missouri was there, and you know, it's like, oh, a psychic lady's got it under control.
Yeah,
no,
but
weird shit happens when she's around all the time.
Anyway, that just struck me as being kind of well. I mean, you have to suspend your disbelief when it comes to like these shows, but they usually do a better job most of the time at trying to make sure they cover all their bases. So,
yeah.
But anyway,
I don't add. I don't remember exactly how it ends, but I know that, you know, Sam's sucked in the house. Dean's fighting his way through the door.
Yeah, right.
And then...
Dean has a shotgun full of salt.
And he goes to shoot at the fire thing, and then Sam's like...
Don't. No.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be Mommy Winchester. So she was the fire spirit, and she was... We thought that the fire spirit was evil, but turns out she wasn't. She was fighting the poltergeist that was in the house. Or the poltergeists. Is that right? The correct pronunciation for more than one poltergeist?
I don't know. I don't think it's polterguy.
I said poltergeist, right?
Poltergeists.
Okay. Yeah, more than one. Plural. I mean, anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like cactus where you say cacti. I think it's like not polterguy. It's poltergeists.
Okay.
Enunciation.
I don't enunciate very well, which is very fantastic for a podcast.
Yeah, you're a sloppy talker.
I'm a sloppy talker. Whatever. You're slop.
Sloppy.
Yes. Oh, anyway. So.
I heard you're sloppy at other things, too. Sloppy drunk.
There's never a good time. Everybody's a little bit of a sloppy drunk. Unless you're James Bond. And let's face it, James Bond wasn't really drinking martinis.
I don't know about that. I don't think you've never seen me drunk. I don't get drunk. I'm not sloppy.
That you know of.
I don't know. Who's the pole dancer when they're drinking? Not me.
Not me either, whatever. That never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. I do not remember anything.
That's exactly.
Shut up. Is there a video? Is there pictures?
You know what? I'm not sure. I have to ask Mark.
Anywho, I digress. Mary kills off the spirit, they're sitting. So Sam is sitting on the. Now it's the next day. Sam is sitting on the stoops with Missouri, and she's saying, "You know, you sense this when I couldn't. You've got this certain kind of a deeper power than I ever could have." And she's like, "But yeah, I think your mom is gone now. Her spirit gave up." Gave herself up to destroy the poltergeist to save you, Sam. So it's like basically the two powers canceled each other out, and Mary Winchester saved her sons, and the house is clean now for sure.
This house is clear.
Yes. So no more spirits, no more evil things.
Doesn't she go back to her place? And that's when dun dun. John Winchester sitting on the couch, and she's "How could he not sense you?"
Right, and he's like, "Why don't you pick up the phone and call those boys?" And he's like, "I wish I could, but I need to do something first. He needs to find out the truth, or whatever." So yeah, he's still being an absentee father, an hunter. But yes, so that is the end of the episode, and we move on. So, any closing comments, thoughts, and comments you'd like to add?
No, I just really liked the episode. I thought it was pretty solid as far as a lot of things go. You know, the crowd, the fridge selves, come on, get with the program. But otherwise, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good show. The effects were decent, for the time, I think. Yeah, it was good.
I honestly love the show. I love this episode. I thought it was, with the exception of those two things, I love the Stephen King references. I love the character of Missouri. I love the cringeworthy moment with the garbage with the repairman getting his hand cut off and the garbage disposal. So there's a lot more. Yep. There's definitely a lot more pluses than minuses. And coming from the last two episodes where we had Bugs and Hookman, this was definitely a step up in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if they had casted that Missouri's character differently, I think they would have gotten a different result with this episode. But she really does make a difference.
And I believe she elevated the Missouri's character's, dialogue. I really thought she was fantastic the way she played it.
But, I mean, because some of these characters don't matter. Like, you know, you help a family, you're on the way, that's it. Mm-hmm. But when you have someone who's, like, supposed to be ingrained in this, in the family's life, like, you know, how Bobby ends up being in future episodes, that she's just, you know, I don't think they needed to show her more because she did just such a good job giving that character a good base.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. She's definitely part of the, as what they say, the supernatural canon. She's part of the background, or, you know, she helped lay the groundwork back in the day. So, yeah, I love the character. I would love to see her some more over the course of the years.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, it wouldn't have to be every episode, but, you know, once or twice, or, you know, a season maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say about this episode. I like I said, I think it was a step up in the right direction over the past previous two episodes. So yeah, I've got nothing else other than the fact that no music could be found at tunefind.com for this episode. So that's something.
That is something.
Which is strange because they use a lot of classic rock. They use about between 3 and 5 songs an episode, and this one they couldn't find any. But if you don't have anything else to say, I got some fun facts. Do you have any?
Oh, I fact on, brother.
You like your fun facts? Okay.
Almost as much as I like my crunchy sack.
Okay, so I have five
facts
fun
facts and sacks, man.
Facts and sacks. Ooh, that could be a new segment in the show. Facts and sacks.
Mm-hmm. Show me yours. I'll show you mine.
Okay, so I have five fun facts here. One, in the promotional material for this episode was called called The Journey Home, but they changed it just to Home. Number two, there are no deaths and only one major injury in this episode. It makes it the first episode in the series with no fatalities. Although the plumber is shown losing his arm in the garbage disposal, there is no police presence, none of the characters react to it as though he died, and he is well enough to try and file a lawsuit against Jenny, as we hear on the phone. So there you go. Number three, the cymbal-banging monkey is a reference to the Stephen King novel, The Monkey, first published in 1980. So I think I said monkey, I think I said the monkey shines or something, but it was the monkey. And number four, this is the first episode to explicitly state that Sam has some kind of psychic powers. Finally, number five, the number Dean on John's answer machine was 866-907-3235, which for a time was an operational number with the voice recording by Jensen Ackles. It is no longer in service. So.
Bum, bum, bum.
That's what I have for fun facts. So, sometimes when you head home, you may feel like heading to the Asylum, which just happens to be the next episode. But before we roll the commercial trailer for Asylum, let's pause for our final Speakeasy podcast commercial break from That Horror Show Podcast. Hello, is there anyone out there? Hey, do you like horror movies, television shows, and really messed up stuff, and like to have a laugh or two? Then tune in to us, That Horror Show Podcast, with me, Tim Kasda.
And me, Chris Koenig. We cover everything from cult and hard-to-find flicks to classic and contemporary horror films, and everything in between.
Oh, God!
Run!
So be sure to tune in to us every month for a unique and interesting look at the horror movie genre.
Run, Tim! Run! Oh, look! An isolated cabin in the woods! We should be safe there!
Sounds good, Chris. You can find us at the speakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. And, of course, our official website at www.thathorrorshowpodcast.podbean.com and the official Facebook page. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Player FM.
So be sure to check us out and the rest of the great podcasts at the Speakeasy Podcast Network, where talk is cheap, and so are we!
Well, we're back, so let's roll that WB commercial trailer for Asylum.
Tuesday.
They say it's haunted with the ghosts of the patients.
It's a place where somebody turns to madness.
Put the gun down, Sam.
You think you could kill your own brother?
Just shut your mouth.
What are you going to do, Sam?
Supernatural Asylum on the WB Tuesday.
Okay, Katie, would you like to do the honors?
No.
No?
You do it.
Oh,
I have no honor.
You have no honor?
I'm talking about sax only.
Crunchy sax. Sax and facts. Okay. So, this, again, this synopsis was provided to us by the fine people at Wikipedia. So, episode number 10, Asylum, directed by Guy B. Wow, that's a strange name. Written by Richard Hateman, with an original air date of November 22nd, 2005. A current IMDb user rating of 8.6 out of 10 stars.
May I interrupt really quick?
Oh, sure.
So, what are those guys' names again?
Guy B.
Okay.
And Richard Hateman was the writer.
Oh, I thought you said Hateman. Like, how would you like to be named Dick Hateman?
Hateman. Yeah, it's H-A-T-E-M. Hateman.
Hateman? Dick Hateman.
And Guy B.
And Guy B with their crunchy sacks. Magic. Yes. All right, I'm sorry, dude. Go on.
No, it's okay.
It's like, what the hell? Who is naming people?
I'm going to have to double check that. Guy B. Hold on, let me just do a quick perusal here. Yep, the guy's name is Guy Norman B. That makes it so much worse.
How do you even spell that? Is it like B, like a
B? Like a B. B-E-E. B.
Whatever.
Hold on. I'm going to look up Guy Norman B. Oh. Yeah, he looks familiar. Okay. Yeah, he's directed a few different episodes. Oh, he's actually directed... Okay. Wow, he's actually directed 11 episodes of Supernatural. Well, I guess we're going to get to those later. Arrow, Revolution, Southland, Ringer, Ice, 12 Monkeys, The Magicians, The Mysteries of Laura. Wow. So he's been around, but that's interesting.
He had sticky little bee fingers and everything.
Yes, he does. All right, so getting back to Asylum, directed by Guy B., written by Richard Hateman, with, like I said, an original air date of November 22nd, 2005. Current internet movie database rating is 8.6 out of 10 stars. So, Sam and Dean receive a tip from their father and travel to Rockford, Illinois, to investigate the haunted Roosevelt Asylum, where the criminally insane patients rioted in 1964. One of the riot's victims was the chief psychiatrist, Norman Armour. The spirits there try to communicate rather than attack, leading the brothers to discover that the psychiatrist had been conducting cruel experiments on his patients like trepanation. It was implied that he was also practicing it due to the diagrams in the background and the belief at the time it could relieve cranial pressure and others in order to test his theory that provoking extreme anger could be therapeutic for them. The ghost of the doctor then confronts Sam, causing him to lose his sanity and try to kill his brother. Dean manages to subdue Sam and burn the doctor's corpse, stopping the spirit and returning Sam to normal. In the end, Sam answers Dean's cell phone to find their father calling them. Well, let's discuss Asylum.
Let's discuss trepanation.
Trepanation, yes.
There you go.
Trepanation. Oh, that's always... Hey, you learn a new... Trepanation. Trepanation.
That's a new word. It's where they used to take a little tool and drill a hole into your head. They used to do it to release the pressure on the brain. I believe way back in the day, they would do it to release the evil that was inside of you, which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Speaking from experience.
Yeah. Cause I got a bunch of holes in my head.
That's a good thing. You have long hair.
Right. And I mean, Asylum is perfect. Me, because I actually, this is what I'm living. If it's not a circus, I'm living in an asylum. All these crazy fucking people.
Either way, just don't take your shoes off, right?
There's different music. Well, no, you know, do. That kind of works for both.
Yeah, that music's just in your head, Katie.
Probably.
So, yes. And it should be, I love the way this episode started, because we see some teenagers breaking into the asylum, the Roosevelt Asylum, with a pair of bolt cutters, and then followed by the local police, and the cops get out of the car, and one says to the newbie, or the, I wouldn't say the rookie, but the newbie on the beat, saying, "Oh, that's right, you're not from around here, you're not a local. Yeah, you don't know about Roosevelt Asylum." And then, you know, they split up. One of the guys finds the kids and shoos them out, and the other cop...
The donut cop, I like. I'm going to call him the donut cop.
The donut cop. He gets his brain scrambled by the good doctor, and he goes home, and he shoots his wife and shoots himself. So
no, that's not the fat one is the donut cop. The skinny one is the other guy. He's not the donut cop. Why would you think the skinny cop is the donut cop?
I don't know. I had no idea where you're going with that analogy.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just was giving you a hard time. I was trying to make something funny, and I just
didn't work out. Oh, well. Wah, wah, wah. So,
no, I feel bad that I wasted, like, 2 minutes of our time. And
Annie,
want another beer?
Are you buying?
Only if you want the crappy ones.
Always. No. So the other cop, the older cop, let's just put him that way, he's alive. He shoos the kids out, and the younger cop, who's married, goes home, and he offs his wife and offs himself. We then see Dean and Sam in a bar, right? They're trying to talk to the officer to find out what's going on. Is that the next? I think that's the next plot point.
No. No, because the guy goes home. He has a nosebleed, kills himself and the wife. So the boys are in the motel, and they're calling their dad's friends to see if anybody has talked to, you know, their dad John.
Okay.
So then their flip phone rings.
Ooh.
And Dean, you know, coordinates show up for, they say Rockford, Illinois. I actually looked up the coordinates, 42-89. Mm-hmm. I was curious. And it's actually Esmond, Illinois, just a hair south of Rockford. So close enough.
Ooh, okay.
And, you know, of course, Sam is doubtful that it's their father. And they check the internets and see that there is a, you know, an asylum there, and so I guess they decided to go with it.
Yeah, because they're hoping to meet up with him there, and Sam is having, well, why doesn't he just call us? Why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he do that? Dean's like, just do it. We'll just go. Dad's given us a job. We go do it. He's like, well, don't you think this is weird? He's like, just don't question him. Just do it. He's like, I'm not going to be a good little soldier and all this stuff. They go back and forth, you know, ranting, you know, fighting with each other. He's like, see, this is why I always got the extra cookie, Sam, because I just do what Dad says.
Well, yeah, and this is like their whole relationship just based around doing what Dad says, or, mm-hmm. you know, and Sam leaving. And right. all. So that's like the main bone of contention that
there's still
you
some
see throughout the series.
Yeah. There's some still an hostility there. Yes. At least in the early part of the series. Yeah, of course. You know, cause Dean was always a good little soldier, always doing what Daddy, you know, wanted to be, you know, we just wanted to be, you know, Daddy's favorite, which, you know, and I think that also plays on the fact that he knew that he wasn't, and that Sam was going to ultimately still be, you know, more highly regarded than Dean was. But those are another discussion for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But Dean is the, you know, just do what Dad says and, you know, it'll all work out kind of thing. He just follows the general.
So, I was going to say, so then they head out, they get to the bar, and then, you know, Dean's kind of being annoying and saying he works for the paper. And
the Chicago Tribune, Sam, yes.
Yeah.
Nigel something or other.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, like, Sam comes up to the rescue.
Yeah.
And, kind of pushes.
Lay off, buddy. Can't you see this man as a cop? Can you show him some respect? Get out of the bar.
Right.
Because apparently it was a cop bar.
I guess.
Yeah, that's how I understood it, but yes. But go on.
Yeah. So then, of course, Sam gets all the deets from the detective. And then, you know, when he's done, he goes outside, and Dean's like, hey, you get a little, you know,
you shoved me kind of
a little hard there.
Yeah, I had to sell it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, like you said, you could definitely tell there's some underlying issues between these two brothers that pop up sporadically throughout the episodes. Yeah, so they get the deets, and I believe they cut back to the asylum with the other two couples right now. The couple that wants to go on a date, like, she's like, couldn't we just go to dinner and a movie? He's like, no, this is so much better. He's like, no, it's not.
Right. Yeah, well, because they you know, they're at the asylum, and it's like the south wing.
Yes.
That's what's mentioned in their dad's journal, is like the south wing. So I guess that's how they knew to kind of like check out that section.
Right. And he also sees a psychiatrist, right, Sam? Is this before they go?
That's not until later.
Oh, that's not until later.
So,
okay.
No, but right now they have, so like they go to the asylum, they're in south wing, and Dean is giving Sam some shit, and he's like, who's a hotter psychic?
Yeah.
Love Hewitt, Patricia Arquette, or you?
Yeah.
This is one of my favorites.
Yes. And what was it, the other one? Oh, you getting anything, Haley Joel?
Yeah, that was real good.
You see dead people?
They do refer to, like, the Cuckoo's Nest. And what does he say? My man Jack.
Yeah.
Shining. And
yeah, the Shining, Cuckoo's Nest. He says it a couple of times, and then they make a bunch of different pop culture references, obviously, like they do in every episode. But for the younger audience who don't know who Haley Joel is, or Haley Joel Osment, he was a child actor in the movie The Sixth Sense. So there you go. You can Google that.
My husband's trying to get my son to watch it, and then we were watching something else, and so there were spoilers for The Sixth Sense, and like, so my son told my husband, you're like, yeah, I don't have to watch it, I already know what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it kind of ruins the whole movie. I mean, there's not a whole lot of movies that do that, but that ruins everything.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. If you want to let somebody enjoy it, you can't tell them what happens at the end, because that's like the whole movie.
It's leading up to that one major twist. With a twist.
Right. It's a little lime.
Yes, but anyway, so... Oh. Where were we?
Okay, while they're at the place, they find a sign that belongs to the doctor. So they figure out who this doctor's son is, and then they go to the psychiatrist's office.
Yeah. Yeah. Weren't you Dr. Ellicott's son?
Yeah, right.
Oh. Yep. So there we are.
And then he's like, why are... You know, we can talk about this, but... You know, you're avoiding the real issue. And then he starts talking about, you know, so tell me about this road trip you're on with your brother.
Yeah. We saw the world's largest ball of twine. We helped some people.
Right. And then he's like, so he talks about Dean, and then they go out. You know, so you see Sam come out of the office, and Dean's like, what? Why were you in there so long?
So we think that Sam is... Well, it's alluded to that Sam has dropped some dirty laundry about Dean.
Right.
You know, talking about...
He needs to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out.
Exactly. So then Sam and Dean...
Well, no, you see the boy and the girl at the asylum.
Yes.
He's, you know, kind of like one of those douchey dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. Like, they got separated or something.
They're walking through the asylum. I think he hears something, and he goes, oh, come on, come ahead. And then the door closes behind him or something like that. And I forget exactly how they get separated. They're walking down the hallway, and he goes on ahead.
And I think she just stays put because she's had it.
Right. He says, I'm gonna see something. I'll be right back or something like that. And so he's walking around in the dark. And he sees a image of it looks like a young woman, and she kisses him. He thinks it's his girlfriend, and it turns out it's not.
Because that girlfriend calls out for him.
Mm-hmm. And we never actually see the person or the person that kisses him, But whoever it is, it freaks him out, and he runs off.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, then the boys show up, and they see, you know, there's, like, they see all the ghosty guy, I guess, is having a seizure, and they see lots of orbs, and, you know, there's an old lady reaching for Sam, and Dean, like, shoots the salt gun at her, and...
Right. And
so, was it Sam? He kind of defends her? He insists that she didn't want to hurt him.
Yeah, he goes, Dean, I don't think they're trying to hurt me because they didn't attack. I think they're trying to say something. And Dean's like, what? What's going on? What do you mean they're trying to do that? But so we get that there's this hint of, you know, that these spirits aren't necessarily malevolent. They're not trying to hurt people. They're trying to warn and trying to help the people that are in the building or in that wing. And that's where we're at with that. I believe
like after that they're kind of wandering and they find the girl Cat hiding behind an old bed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's worried about the boyfriend. She can't leave without Gavin, which is the total douchebag name, by the way. Sorry to any of you fools out there, name your kid Gavin.
Or name Gavin.
Yeah, like, I don't know. The only Gavin I think I know is, like, Gavin Rossdale.
I was just going to say that from Bush.
Yeah, nobody likes Bush, sorry. And if you do, you got problems.
You're not a machine head?
No. He was too whiny. Gavin's just a whiny bitch. So this girl's actually got some pretty big balls because she's like, I'm not leaving him. You know, I'm not leaving without Gavin, even though he's a douchebag. She should totally leave him there. I don't know. What is it? Spooky shadows all over and... Finally, Sam finds Gavin laid out. He's like, a ghost kissed me, and he's like, freaking out about it. Like, that's the worst thing that could ever happen.
Yeah. So are you hurt? Did they try to hurt you? He goes, no. Didn't you hear what I said, though? It kissed me. And he's like, and so Sam's putting more and more together, like, okay, so the one of the ghosts didn't, you know, hurt him, and this other ghost kissed this other guy. So maybe these spirits aren't so bad.
Right. Well, and then, you know, the kid says she whispered something, but he doesn't know what it was.
He ran away and fell down.
Right. Well, and then what didn't somebody say? Don't forget the milk on the way home.
I don't remember.
Maybe that was just me thinking that I wrote that. I probably wrote that down.
Are you reading your grocery list while you're watching Supernatural? Yeah.
No, because I'm thinking that's what, you know, if I was going to whisper something in somebody's ear, just totally random, like, don't forget to get the milk on the way home, because everybody always wants a fucking gallon of milk in this joint. If I was dead, that's what I would be whispering to people. Don't fucking forget the milk on the way home.
What, no eggs?
Yeah, no, the milk, because, you know, everybody wants their crunchy sack cereal.
New from Supernatural. Oh, God. They have little marshmallow Impalas.
Right? Yes! We'll have their Scooby Snack Edition.
Oh, God. Okay, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, so the ghost will say, don't forget the milk.
That's me.
Yeah, that's
she will.
Okay, so Sam finds you know everyone's favorite lead singer Gavin and reunites him with his girlfriend, and I love the fact that even the little dialogue between the boyfriend and girlfriend, she was like, if we get out of here, I am so dumping you. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Right.
So Sam and Dean are trying to get these teenagers out of the building, and everything is locked down. They can't get out, apparently. And
but then something grabs Kat's arm and like drags her into a room, and then the door slams.
That's right. That's right. And that's when Sam comes in with Gavin after the door slam. Dean is with her with the girlfriend, and she's like, "You're hurting my arm." He's like, "What do you mean? I'm not hurting your arm." And the girl gets sucked into another room. Door slams, and they're trying to talk to her. Try to talk her down off the ledge, you know, saying the spirit's not going to hurt you. It just needs to talk to you. It just needs to say something. So just listen to what it has to say, and it'll let you go.
And she's like, "You listen to it."
Yeah, like I'd have the same reaction. Like, fuck no, you do it. but she ends up, sacking up, and she listens to what the ghosts have to say, and Kate Kate Cat. Well, woo. Anyway, so
I'm Kate. She's Cat. Meow.
Meow. Kitty's got claws. All right. So after Cat gets out of the room or away from Spirit and out of the room, she says that the Spirit whispered the room 137 in her ear. So that's where they kind of have to go. And
yeah.
So I think Dean. Oh, I think that's what. So Sam takes the teenagers and tries to get them out or get them safe, and then Dean says, "Well, I'm going to go find this room," or something like that. Is that how I remember it? I believe.
I don't know. There was another Shining reference I put down. All work and no play makes Dr. Alcott a bad boy. I don't know. I'm sorry. But, so they're wandering, and then I know Sam gets a call from Dean saying he's downstairs.
Right, right. That's after Dean has left, after they had split up, because Sam was supposed to be with, help the kids out. So I think Sam doesn't give him a gun. Dean gives him the gun. So, yeah.
Because Gavin's all like, "Oh, what do you mean? You know how to shoot a gun?"
Yeah, I've been skeet shooting a couple of times.
Yeah, she's totally dropping the badassness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she's like, what, my grandfather, my dad took me skeet shooting a couple of times, and then she cocks the gun.
I know, right? I'm like, what the bitch?
All right, shit's about to go down.
I know, right? Gavin, you fuck with the wrong girl. That's when, Sam gets a call saying, Dean's downstairs, and then...
Right.
Unbeknownst to Sam, that's really not Dean.
Yeah, that's what I think happens after they get out of that holding cell with Kat, they split up and he goes away, and then he tries to get the kids out, but they get stopped short when Dean calls Sam on the phone, telling him he's in the basement. You know, Sam goes to the basement, and then Dean comes back up, comes back to the front. He goes, "I thought you guys were supposed to get out of here. What are you guys still doing here?" He's like, "Well, we were, but he told us to stay here, and you were downstairs, and you needed to see him." He's like, "Really?" Well, he didn't go, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Oh, that's odd."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, nuh-uh. I didn't ever call him. So, yeah. So Sam gets possessed by Dr. Ellicott, the good doctor. All the while trying to find the body of Dr. Ellicott, and Sam was with the teenagers, Dean had found some manuals and transcripts saying what the good doctor had been doing to the patients and why the patients were so upset and rioted back in the day.
Right. So Dean goes downstairs to find Sam, and then Sam is like standing there, real creepy and straight faced, while like Dean kind of downloads all the information about the experiments and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Sam tries to deflect, what he's saying, but then he gets kind of pissed and his nose starts to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's talk about, him shooting Dean, and all of Sam's anger just comes like splaying out.
Right.
Don't tell me what to do, and don't do this, and don't do that, and, big brother, little brother,
right.
Angry bullshit.
Yes, and apparently there was some sort of secret passage that nobody ever found out, and Sam throws Dean through the wall, and they find the secret passage to the secret room,
right?
Where the good doctor has been doing all his private experiments on, because apparently this room wasn't found after the riots, which, again, suspending a little bit of disbelief, because I would assume that when they closed the wing and when they closed the hospital, they had to do like major sweeps of the building, and they still couldn't find the doctor smooshed in some sort of like cabinet.
I don't know. It's Rockford, man. You really think they got the police out there?
The resources and manpower?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, to their credit, it was a hidden room, but still. But anyway, so
they're sorry to all those people from Rockford. I'm like, you just got it going on.
Well, you know, when I guess this, you know, being a Supernatural fan, and I guess anywhere you live, you always kind of like get. I always geeked out for when they would mention like a town, you know, that was near me or that I had lived in. Like, oh my God, they said Downers Grove. I used to live there.
Right. Chicago? The Tribune? I read that paper.
Yes. Rockford? I've driven through there a few times. So, yes. And anyway, so what had happened, I don't know where I was going with this. Boy, wow.
Oh, I know, like, Dean offers to give a Sammy the gun.
Oh.
He's like, you know, you're going to shoot me, you're going to shoot me, and then...
He goes,
you know,
to shoot
he pulls
him.
The trigger. And...
He's like, yeah, I'm going to give you a loaded gun. And then he just cold clocks Sam, and then he lights the good doctor's bones on fire with the salt and was it salt and just a salt, right? Did you put – oh, and accelerant, the lighter fluid. Yeah, there you go. I knew it was one other thing. But, yeah.
It's the three things.
Yeah, fire –
salt, the fire, and the accelerant.
Yes. Anyway, so there you go. The doctor burns up, much like the Hookman and much of like any other spirits. And Sam is now cured. And
But no. Oh, wait. He turns to rock or stone or something.
Yeah.
This is like one of the episodes where it wasn't, you know, usually when we see them salting and burning bones, it kind of like... it's like they wisp away, or it's like
he crumbles.
They evaporate. But this guy, he turned to some kind of stone or whatever.
And dust. Oh, okay, yeah.
It was different. I don't know why they did that. I don't know if they were trying something new or what. But yeah.
Yeah, but in either case, either way, yes, I do remember that now. But it was kind of it was a neat effect. The doctor. Said, he had a really creepy like mannerism where he's on Sam, he was on Dean, and he's like, "Let me heal you. I want to heal you." But yes,
oh, thank you. That's when you go home and tell your mom about the doctor. Do not take his lollipop.
Yes. So that, in a nutshell, is Asylum. Next thing you see, we see the everybody leaving the building. There was a funny moment that I didn't mention before earlier where Dean is talking to Kat. He's like, hey, you thought going into someplace that's haunted would be fun? He's like, do you watch horror movies? Next time they say something, next time somebody says someplace is haunted, don't go in there.
Right? Why are these people always splitting up? Don't you talk about horror movies? Don't they know the rules? You never split up.
Yes. It's not going to work out for you if you guys split up. Yeah,
it's not.
Don't investigate the creepy sound. Don't investigate the creepy sound. You know, more than likely, just get the fuck out.
Yeah. GTFO.
Yeah. Now, granted, that wouldn't make for make a really short horror movie, but
right.
So they leave the asylum. Sam apologized for what he said while under the influence of the good doctor's mind control, and he didn't really mean it. Dean shrugs it off, and, you know, they return to the hotel room, and early the next morning, Dean's phone rings, and Sam answers it, and it's Papa! Papa, can you hear me?
Oh, no, you didn't.
God. I did. I brought the thunder.
Oh, God. I don't know if we could be friends anymore.
So they get the long-awaited phone call from Daddy John,
and then they just cut it off.
Yeah, and then it's like, but Dad. Yeah. So yeah. So in these last two episodes, we get to see. Going back to home, it was very nice to see, since the first episode, seeing even though they didn't share any screen time together, seeing John and Mary in the episode again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool. And then we hear John's voice. John's going to be coming, you know, getting into the episodes very soon, and I'm sure Sam and Dean can't wait. Oh,
I can't wait either. I love him. He's just Jeffrey Dean Morgan is one of my favorites.
Yes, yes.
Not to mention he's foxy as hell too, but you know,
yeah,
it doesn't hurt.
He doesn't do anything for me. I give this episode a thumbs up. What do you, Katie?
Absolutely, thumbs up. It was a good one. You know, it's pretty classic horror movie stuff. It's just, you know, on a smaller scale and not disgusting.
Yeah, I love the low lighting in this episode. Like most episodes, I just think that there's a lot the creepy atmosphere and the lighting really helps sell, you know, these episodes, especially early on.
That was you know, because it was different for that time period, and as like the series goes on, that kind of overall tone or mood is changed. Like you don't see that like dark screen style anymore. Kind of.
I really wish they could go back to that a little bit.
I think they set the mood in other ways.
Yeah.
So that it's not really necessary, but I don't know, the blue filter on the cameras and stuff is. Sometimes it was a little bit much for me, but yeah. I think for this episode, it worked really well.
Yeah. So, Home, I give a thumbs up. You give a thumbs up to Home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Asylum, both thumbs up. I really don't know what else we could really say. Last episode, like Home, we both had our own like little bit of grief, like, you know, like what the hell were they thinking there? But here,
right.
not so much, other than maybe, you know, when the Roosevelt Asylum was closed in the backstory. But I mean, that, you know, I can overlook that a little bit more than I can overlook, you know, like the milk in the refrigerator and the
right, like the
show. And Dean causing, you know, a riot on the front lawn of the house. I don't have really much else to say about this. I think it was well done, and I enjoyed it much more so than, you know, Bugs and the Hookman. Also, so for fun facts, I have another five. That's surprising. I counted that out like a professional.
Five
fun facts. Number one, while waiting in the psychiatrist's office, Sam is reading a copy of Men's Health magazine. That issue features an interview with Jared Padalecki.
Nice.
Oh, gotta love that. Number two, Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles had Tom Welling hiding in the back seat of the Impala during some of the shooting of some of the scenes.
Why?
I don't know. Well, they are all buddies, and they would golf like on their days off. So apparently that's what they did. So I guess they were just kind of hanging out.
Like it's a secret cameo or something.
Yeah, that would have been like hilarious.
You're in the episode, but not really.
Yeah, you can't see me. Peekaboo. I'm Superman. Third fact. This episode takes place in a small town called Rockford, Illinois. Rockford is not actually a small town, but is in fact the third largest city in Illinois, with a population of 352,290 people.
Oh, I did not know it had such a large population.
Yeah, neither did I. Number four, when Dean is reviewing Dr. Ellicott's journals, he says, "All work and no play makes Dr. Ellicott a very dull boy." Yes, that's what Jack Nicholson types repeatedly in The Shining. From 1980. So another Jack Nicholson, Stephen King connection. Number 5, the Riverview Hospital, a large mental facility used as the main set in Season 1 episode Asylum, was also substituted for a prison, a regular hospital, and an apartment building on different episodes of the show. This is evidenced by seeing the same distinctive staircase in the different episodes. So,
and I want to say I've seen this building in other television shows. But I cannot confirm that.
You know, anything's possible. I mean, they've got about 4 or 5 different WB shows shooting up there at any given time.
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion. Like, one of the shows I'm thinking of is Gotham.
Maybe.
And that's a WB show too, right?
That's a Fox show, but it could be shooting. Yeah. I don't know too much about Gotham. I've only watched, like, the first couple of episodes, so I really don't know a whole lot about Gotham. But yeah, it's on Fox, and I don't know where, if Fox shoots in Canada. I know a lot of all the CW shows shoot in Canada, so it's possible.
Could be. I don't know. I thought that was a CW thing too, but I was wrong.
No. Gotham's on Fox, and CW is got the Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, all those good stuff. Yeah. Black Lightning.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so there was only one classic rock song used in this episode, thanks to TuneFind, and it's Hey You by Bachman Turner Overdrive. So, there you go.
Good job.
Yes, so that's basically all that I have. Kay, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I have nothing.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty lame tonight. I mean, all we talked about was, like, sax.
Crunchy sax.
Sax.
We'll be better next time.
And you couldn't say that word right.
Oh, yeah. What was the word? I forget already. Oh, I know I can nail it this time. Hold on, because the show's...
Yeah, let's see.
Well,
can you?
Well, the show's over, so yes, of course I can nail it. Trepidanish.
Trepidation.
Yeah.
That's going to be your, like, word of the month. Oh. You got to put that... Pepper that into your language.
Yes. Don't be so... I don't know how to use trepidatious. Trepidatious.
You're going to need some trepidation.
Oh, God, yeah. It's late. It's okay.
That's your excuse for every time we do this.
Yeah, well, we got to do this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not 11 o'clock at night. Come on.
Oh, and we're going to do this at 2 in the afternoon when you have a couple of screaming kids and I have an angry baby and a bunch of other kids who are like, I'm bored.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very good either, but
no.
We promise we'll be more with it for episode 6.
Quote unquote. Promise.
Maybe. Oh, God.
Either that or we'll just, you know, relive the sex, you know, cereal.
What? Did I miss something?
Sex cereal.
Oh, I thought you said sex cereal. Sorry.
Dude, what you do with your Cheerios is your business.
Honey, bunches of oats? What you eating?
Yeah,
what you eating? Nothing, honey.
Not apple pie for you. It's all those tiny O's.
Ow, ow, ow. Oh, God, no, that's... Anyway, all right. So we promise next episode will be much, much better. We'll try to be more on the ball.
Stop lying to these people.
What, you don't know me?
You can't tell me how to live my life.
Anyway, so thank you all for tuning in to us tonight.
Yeah, sorry.
Tonight you heard commercials from Fighting Words and That Horror Show podcast. So be sure to check out those two shows as well as all the other wonderful podcasts at the Speakeasy Podcast Network at www.thespeakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. We can also be found on our official Facebook page where talk is cheap and so are we. Also, if you have any questions or comments about the show, we would love to hear from you. And our official email address is menofletterssupernatural@gmail.com. For Katie, I'm Tim. Thank you for listening tonight. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Men of Letters.
Oh boy, I'm going to butcher this word. Hold on, I'm going to have to edit this later. T-trepanation?
Spell it for me.
T-R-E-P-A-N-A-T-I-O-N. Panation.
Yeah, trepanation.
Trepanation. Okay. So the brothers discover that the psychiatrist had been conducting cruel experiments on his patients, like trepanation. I still fucked it up. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Leading the brothers to discover the psychiatrist had been conducting cruel experiments on his patients like trepanation. I still fucked it up, didn't I?
Trepanation.
Trepanation. Oh my god, trepanation. Okay, here we go. Fuck.